The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you on this great morning. It is Cinco de Mayo, Friday, May 5th, and it is getting ready for round two of the Wells Fargo Championship. As most of you know, moved the tournament this year because of other things.
Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Sorry.
We're starting the show again.
Sorry about that.
We got this Cinco de Mayo music there. That's okay. A little atmosphere. The Wells Fargo Championship, I say, is at Eagle Point Golf Club in Wilmington, North Carolina. And the big story coming out of there, in addition to Francesco Molinari, big story to him is he has a one-shot lead with a 6-under 66 in the opening round. He has a number of guys behind him. But Dustin Johnson is back in action after winning his last three events and then skipping the Masters because of that freak accident on the staircase, probably in a house not too far from ours. Frank Bassett, excuse me, joins us with our
next door
Nashville studios. He was pretty close. Yeah, we were all kind of in that same area where a lot of the players were staying, and not unusual because everybody's staying in unusual houses, so they're not familiar. And you know that he slipped and fell in some stairs, hurt his back.
Ours was three stories, and it was a gorgeous home. I mean, I won't say the name of the people who own it, but. Beautiful home, three stories.
Yeah, because we don't want to be responsible for any of the damage we did.
But the wooden stairs, I mean, I slipped several times on wooden steps.
Yeah.
More the reason why I went to a runner on our stairs, our wooden stairs that are new that we're put in. I said, you know, I can't. But the dog wouldn't even.
They look nice, but they're dangerous.
And that's what happened to him. But, you know. I'll go to fall down my own stairs if I can hit 16 of 18 greens my first day back after a 3 or 4 week playoff. Can you see that?
I mean, just no problem. No problem from him at all. Yeah. I mean, he looked like he hadn't missed any time at all. And it's actually been 6 weeks since he played because he didn't play.
Yeah, that's right.
For the couple weeks before the Masters. And so, again, having won three in a row, but that's quite a long layoff, 6 weeks. Didn't act like it at all. So he shot a 270. He's four shots back, but looked pretty good. Didn't have a lot of rust on him, and so it's a good sign for Dustin Johnson, and a good tournament for him to come back to. He's from the South Carolina, or so from that area in general. So I think it's comfortable for him, and got a good feeling and everything. By the way, we have Bob Bupka joining us here shortly. We haven't talked to Bob in a while, so we'll see what's up with Bob. And he's in Houston at the PGA Tour Champions event in Houston, which is his backyard. That's where that's where he hangs out. So,
the Insperity.
Good for him.
The Insperity. There's a big event coming up tomorrow. There is a sidebar to the tournament itself. And it's the 3M Legends. I've got to get this name right, but you're going to have Trevino and Nicklaus and Player and Weisskopf and all these guys playing in a special scramble tomorrow, which is really going to be cool. So
very neat. Yeah, very neat. And I think, you know, maybe we're seeing, I mean, maybe this isn't as extraordinary as I'm making it sound like, but. You know, that's a neat format. They did a similar format. Remember when they had Player and those guys in a team format at the at the Top of the Rock was that tournament. Remember a couple weeks ago, Frank, the one that they play in Missouri in the Ozarks?
Yeah, Big Cedar.
They had a neat
Big Cedar Lodge.
Yeah. They had a big tournament there, but they had a format that allowed some of the older senior guys to be able to play, and now they're doing this again, and certainly – a week ago, having the team competition down at the Zurich Championship. So I think it's cool
that
they're having some different formats.
Here it is. It's called the 3M Greats of Golf. And an article in Morning Read, Alex Maselli's new project, Golf Icons Prove to Be Even Better with Age. And it's by Adam Shupak, our good friend Adam. You know, Les is our friend and his dad. Here it is. Why not? For good measure. Lee Trevino for a nonstop laugh track. That's true. Ben Crenshaw, Tony Jacklin, David Graham, Tom Weisskopf. Then you'd have the 3M Greats of Golf, an 18-hole three-man team scramble to be played at the Woodlands Country Club Tournament Course. It's a sideshow to the PGA Tour Champions Insperity Invitational. But if you ask me, quoting Shupak, it's really the main event. So that's pretty doggone cool.
Nicklaus
and Player and everybody else. Wow. I'd like to go to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun. I mean, that's what I mean. It's kind of neat to show different formats and show off some of the guys that are playing in this. And it's a good draw for the fans. There's a lot of golf out there, so it's something different. Probably going to get a lot of attention.
I bet they play faster than the other players.
Probably.
Have you been on Hank Haney's show again this week on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't catch it yesterday. I apologize. I was deep in the throes of dealing with contractors and crap.
He wanted me to give some instruction, so that's the thing. He needed some help with someone who has the wrong grip, so come to me for that.
So
I'm here to help. Yeah, I'm here to help. Yeah, I tell you which end of the club to hold. I've been holding it apparently from the wrong end all this time. The rubber end is the one you're supposed to be grabbing, and I didn't realize that.
So I didn't realize that either.
He had me on. Yeah.
Minor leather wrapped grips. They're kind of cracking from age.
Yeah, falling apart.
Redone in the
20s. Grip since 1978.
Yeah. Sorry about Bogey the Wonder Dog. He's in the studio with us today, and I don't know what he's barking at. Sorry about that.
Now, does he get a credit today for being a producer?
He does. Bogey is producing noise for our show. Thank you, Bogey the Wonder Dog. And we'll post a Twitter something on Twitter about Bogey the Wonder Dog.
Yeah, he's got his ASCAP card and everything. So, so Bogey now that he's spoken on the air is not getting credit.
By the way, I'm BMI. I'm not ASCAP. So.
Oh,
I'm registered with BMI.
So Bogey's BMI,
Bogey's BMI. ASCAP is the American Society of Composers, Poets, whatever. BMI is easy.
Yeah.
Broadcast music.
Yeah.
Boom. That's it. BMI.
Yeah.
Incorporated, whatever. BMI. So anyway, what does that have to do with anything we're talking about?
Nothing. Yeah. I'm a Teamster. Does that mean anything? Is that okay?
It means a lot. It means I'm not going to mess with
Jimmy,
you, that's for sure.
I go back to Jimmy Hoffa. He gave me his blessing, one of the last things Jimmy did. So we're all in the union.
You know, speaking of that, I got to tell you, a good friend of mine in Atlanta, really close personal friend and business partner for years in different businesses, Ron Antonori. Ron's a great guy. Antonori wine family in Italy, Sicily and all that. Ron grew up in Ybor City, Florida, in the area. His grandparents lived there. There's a picture of him with Uncle Jimmy with his arm around him when he was a little boy. Jimmy Hoffa.
Uncle Jimmy.
Uncle Jimmy was visiting the family.
Really?
Yeah.
Uncle Jimmy.
Don't mess with Ron either. Yeah, I'm serious.
Uncle Jimmy. Wow. He was that close. Uncle Jimmy.
Uncle Jimmy. You know who we forgot to contact this week?
It's
Brian.
Scary.
Brian Hammonds. Apologies, Brian, if you're listening today, which you will be, I'm sure. We need to get him on next week. Brian Hammonds from the Golf Channel, formerly with the Golf Channel, now with a new endeavor in Indiana. And we were together at the LPGA. Boy, he's a player. The senior LPGA championship media day, French Lick. Brian is a player, buddy. I mean, the first day on the Pete Dye course, the wind was blowing 30 miles an hour all day, literally 30 miles an hour plus gusts. He shot a 77. First time he'd ever played that course. I'm like, okay. And that know that what that
and then
course
he went
is
to
like.
The back nine.
No, I'm serious. He burned it up.
I know. That's you were telling me how good he was playing.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on this one. Hey, we're gonna take a quick break. We got our good friend Bob Bupka joining us, and he's in Houston, so he'll give us an update on a little bit more of what we were talking about there with the senior champions. I don't know what they call it. Do they have a term for the extra seniors now, Frank? The super seniors? Do we have anything?
No, it's the 3M greats of
the
golf.
The player Nicklaus kind of crowd?
No, they're the 3M greats.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, you get the PGA Tour champions. Those are the 50 and up guys. But if you're 70 and up, or if you're 80 and up, it's got to be a whole other category.
You know,
he'll tell us all about
we're part of the PGA Tour. We should know that. We should know that.
Yeah.
Here you go again. I'm going to call.
I don't think there is.
Steve Johnson.
I don't think there is a term. We'll make our own term
we
up
need
for this
to,
one.
I'll research
Super Legends
that today.
Or something.
I'll research
yeah,
that
we'll
today.
Find out. Well, let's take a quick break, and Bob Bupka will join us to give us a little update on that. We'll also talk a little bit more about the Wells Fargo Championship and coming back. And I'm sure Bob's got some great stories. We haven't talked to him since the Masters, and something always happens to Bob. So we'll find out what great stories he might have had during Masters Week as well. So all that and a lot more coming your way when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio, so don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews from the Dallas studios. We have Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. And joining us now is our good friend from the Houston studios, let's say officially, Bob Bupka. Bob, happy Cinco de Mayo. How's it going for you today down in Houston?
Well, it's kind of an exciting week because the PGA champions are in town. They got the 3M greats of the game that are going to participate tomorrow. And Tim and Frank, I know what golf nuts you guys are, and I would assume that everybody that listens to Golf Talk America might want to trade places with me tomorrow morning, because I'm going to have the opportunity to sit down with Lee Trevino, Gary Player, and Jack Nicklaus in this small little room. And believe me, I've had that honor many times before, but each and every time, guys, I get goosebumps when I get amidst all that greatness.
How could you not? Good gracious. I would love to be there. I wish I could cop a quick flight and just be a fly on the wall for that one. How are you going to get a word in edgeways with those three guys?
That's the question. You only got two questions prepared, right? That's all you need.
That is a pretty good question. I like listening to them so much that it's really incredible. I mean, Lee Trevino is as funny as can be, and Gary Player certainly takes every opportunity to you know, give a little jab to Jack Nicklaus. I remember a couple of years back, I was asking Gary about you know, who loves golf more, Arnie or Jack, and with Jack sitting right there, Gary Player said, "Are you kidding me? Arnold Palmer loves golf a lot more than Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus played golf." And Jack chirps in, "No, I love golf." Gary said, "Not the way Arnie loved golf." So they get on it pretty well. And Arnie was a big part of this 3M great thing. Certainly he's going to be missed this year. The tournament has done a lot of great things. They have a huge Arnold Palmer umbrella painted onto the driving range, so that every player that goes out there, guys, has to walk over this umbrella. And certainly their thoughts would go back to Mr. Palmer, who's no longer with us.
Wow, that's neat. Hey, you know what you should do, Bob? I think this would be funny. Have your producer, Janice, go out and buy a rubber snake today. And when you walk into the room, just hand it to Lee Trevino and say, "Jack wanted me to give this back to you from when you threw it at me years ago."
That's why you're so creative, Frank. I never would think of anything like that, but that certainly would be a good idea. But it's really hard to describe, you know, on the air, but what it feels like that when you're sitting there and it's only a few feet away from these three guys, and they're such gentlemen in their own right, and you know, they their answers are like worth their weight in gold. I mean, whenever you get an opportunity for one of those guys to say anything, and you know, and I had a lot of fun. I think listeners will enjoy this. I had a lot of fun yesterday. I was on the driving range for quite a while with Tom Kite, and I said to Tom Kite, I said, "You agree with me, Tom, that Vijay Singh has hit more practice balls than anybody?" And he said, "Are you kidding me, Bob?" He says, "I'm 67 years old. Vijay Singh's only 53 years old. You think he's hit more golf balls than I've hit? You're crazy." So he was rather adamant about the fact that he has hit more golf balls than Vijay Singh. Mainly because he's, you know, 14 years older. But boy, oh boy, at 67, his swing really was impressive yesterday, despite the fact that it was about a 25-30 mile an hour wind blowing. Didn't bother him. He's out there hitting balls for well over an hour, and I certainly enjoyed every moment of it.
Bob, you remember years ago when Tom Kite had never won a major. And he won the Players' Championship in those days called the TPC. And we had the opportunity. I was not in the golf business at the time, but I was, you know, there. And walked up to him and talked to him and said, "How do you feel about the TPC now? Do you feel like it's a major?" He said, "You better believe I do." So Tom Kite, great guy, great player. People forget, some of our younger listeners probably don't remember how really consistent a player that man was.
Well, and then he did win his major in 1992, winning the United States Open at Pebble Beach. And it, ironically enough, it was blowing very hard that entire week. The other thing that I found interesting, I said to Tom Kite, you know, he, Ben Crenshaw, Tom were really the proteges of what many argue to be the best teacher ever in golf, Harvey Pienick. And I said to Tom yesterday, I said, Tom, what percentage of your swing today is Harvey Pienick? And he didn't even bat an eyelash. He said 95%.
Wow.
Of what I learned when I was 12, 13, 14 years old from Harvey Pienick is what I utilize now when I'm 67 years old. And he said he's had a lot of teachers come to him over the years and suggest this, suggest that, but he's remained true to the lessons he learned from Harvey Pienick. And I think that's probably why the Little Red Book is the most referenced book ever in golf as far as instructions go.
We're talking with Bob Bupka from TuneIn Radio, and he's brought to us by, genuinely enough, by Vertical Groove Golf. Tell us a little bit about Vertical Groove Golf, Bob. You've teamed up with these fine people, and for people that aren't familiar with the product, give us a little insight.
Well, I'm really excited about it. As a matter of fact, yesterday on the range, I saw that Kenny Perry was using a Vertical Groove driver, and I know he's not on their staff. So I said, Kenny, why do you have a Vertical Groove driver in your bag? He said, Bob, I tested it against every driver imaginable. This driver hits it further for me. I said, how much further? He said in the 10-yard range, which doesn't sound like a lot, but this is a player that can maximize any driver that he uses, so with his talent. So I said, well, I would probably mean more yardage for the average player. He said he felt very strongly that it would probably increase the average player by 15 to 20 yards.
Wow.
Anybody
wow,
that wants to get any information on it and help your game, you're also going to hit it straight. You can go to vertgolf.com, and I'll just spell that real quick, guys, vertgolf.com. And one other thing that I had fun walking up and down the range when you see, Lauren Roberts and, Corey Pavin and
wow.
Fred Couples. Everyone would say to me, what are you doing here, Bob? And I said, well, I've been hired by the PGA Tour because they've been getting some grumblings that guys on the Champions Tour are starting to feel a little old. So they hired me pro bono to walk up and down the range. And I said, I guarantee you I'm going to make you feel young when you see me walk by. Mark Roberts said, boy, you're right about that. I'll be right back. I'm going to go run some wind sprints. I really feel young now.
Lauren Roberts, boss of the Moss. The boss of the Moss.
Yeah. Good memory there, Frank.
Yeah.
And he was a nice guy when he was boss of the Moss, and he's a nice guy now. And also, Hale Irwin walked up to Janet Self, our executive producer, and startled her. He said, you still hanging around with that guy, Bupka, after all these years? And she said, hell, I've been looking for a replacement. I can't find one.
Well, the last time I saw Kenny, interestingly enough, was out in Tucson for the Conquistador Classic. And he invited me up to play with him at his course. He's only about 35 minutes from me north of Nashville here at his home course up in Franklin, Kentucky. So
I'll tell you a funny story. You know, they had the Ryder Cup at Valhalla.
Right.
And we were driving, and we came into, a town called Franklin, and we saw the sign said, home golf course of Kenny Perry. So I said, come on, let's pull in there. It was the Monday after the Ryder Cup was finished on Sunday. I said, maybe we'll see Kenny here. And we were like half joking. So we pulled in and we're in the parking lot and we see the clubhouse and said, well, why don't we just go in there and see if he's around? And then all of a sudden, while we're sitting in our car, this pickup truck comes pulling in, and I look in the back of the pickup truck, there's a Ryder Cup golf bag. I said, what the heck's going on here? And then who gets out of the pickup truck with Kenny Perry? So we get out and said, hey, Kenny, we just came by to say hello. I thought he was going to have a heart attack. I mean, he did detect certainly members of the media pulling into his home golf course there. But boy, he takes a lot of pride in it.
He does.
He's hands-on, as you well know, Frank. He just loves that place, and he loves sitting in there in the pro shop clubhouse with the members and the people that come play there. He deserves a lot of credit. He's doing a tremendous amount of good for players in the Franklin area.
Yeah, he is. And he and his wife are two really special people. I mean, they're so nice and so open with their generosity in that Franklin, Kentucky area. And it's, you know, not the richest area in the world. It's Kentucky. And he's just a great guy. I can't say enough about Kenny Perry. But, hey, Bob, I want to touch on this back up a little bit. Of course, we didn't have a chance to really sit down like we did a couple of years ago at the Masters, but what was your big takeaway from Augusta this year?
Well, my biggest takeaway was, boy, what a relief it has to be. I met Sergio Garcia when he was playing in the United States Amateur. He was 18 years old. I was with Sergio Garcia in 1999 at Medina when he made that run at winning a PGA championship, only to lose to Tiger Woods. And the overwhelming theme, guys, in the media room at Medina, well, don't worry about Sergio. He'll win plenty of majors because he was that talented and he was that impressive. And if anybody had said then, well, he's 19 now, he'll be 20 years before he wins a major, you'd have been the laughing stock of the media room. So I was happy for Sergio. The only teacher he's ever had is his father, Victor. He's a good guy, sometimes misunderstood, and certainly have his problems when he couldn't pull the trigger on a shot with the grip and the re-grip and the grip and the re-grip.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly, so many people, feel very strongly, that it was a great victory for Sergio. I talked to Colin Montgomery yesterday and we started talking about Sergio's victory and he said a long time coming and probably Colin Montgomery, guys, knows the relief, that Sergio felt when he finally won, because Monty, as great as he was, never won a major. As a matter of fact, never won on U.S. soil. So Colin Montgomery, was very happy for Sergio Garcia.
You know, Colin Montgomery, yeah. Interestingly enough, you bring him up, when he won the senior PGA championship up at French Lick on that uber difficult Pete Dye golf course. I mean, there were a lot of players that on day one that shot 80 plus. I think over 40 players that first day of that championship shot 80 plus on that course. He won that up there, and he was, we asked him at the time, Brendan Sweeney and all of us around him, how does this feel? He said, this feels like a major. It is a major. He's a great guy too. You start talking about the 3M greats and what you're doing out there, this week on the PGA Tour Champions. I think that I know you especially do it already, but we as Golf Talk America, and Tim, I think you'll agree with this, we need to become more involved. Although we're at PGA Tour events week in and week out, we need to kind of coordinate more of the PGA Tour Champions events into this show, maybe doing live broadcasts from those events, simply because we have a broad range of listeners, and those guys are the greats of golf that are out there, and we need to show them some more love.
You know, Frank, I think that that's a wonderful idea. And, you know, Golf Talk America is listened to by so many people that truly love this game. And by diverting a little more attention to PGA Tour champions, what Golf Talk America really would be doing is just paying a little more respect to the game and to the real pioneers that led the way. You know, I mean, Tom Weisskopf, you know, he's going to be playing tomorrow. Ben Crenshaw playing in the greats of the game. Hale Irwin, you know, is playing. Matter of fact, to give you a little example of the caliber of Hale Irwin, two-time U.S. Open winner, 40-time winner on a Champions Tour, said to me, actually was saying that to Keith Fergus, I happen to be listening in, he said, gee, I feel a little funny going to hit balls on the range because I'm really not in the tournament this week. I'm just playing on Saturday. And, you know, when I heard that, I said, Hale, are you kidding me? I said, I'll tell you what, in reality, if you walk on that range and every player that's playing in the event should stop hitting balls and let you have the entire range for what you have done in this game. He's just such a wonderful ambassador. And if Golf Talk America chooses to cover a little bit more of the champions, you know, I think it'd be a great idea.
Yeah, Tim, you got to run up to Houston to see this thing tomorrow. Or down to Houston. You're in Dallas.
Down to Houston.
New
yeah.
day trip.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, it wouldn't take long at all. 3.5-4 hours, I'd be there. We're talking with Bob Bupka, by the way, and he is in Houston for the Inspirity Invitational. And I'm curious, Bob, a guy who's a lot of people, when they show up in Houston to watch this tournament, will be looking at John Daly, a relative newcomer for about a year now on the PGA Tour Champions. And I'm curious, matter of fact, I have to, every year I emcee his tournament that he does for Boys and Girls Clubs here in Dallas, and it's coming up actually next Tuesday. So in a few days, I'll be with him. And he gets out his guitar, he plays, and does the things that John Daly does. He's always entertaining, but not really, maybe, in my opinion, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but not really playing as he thought he was going to. And I thought he would not dominate the PGA Tour Champions, but play well enough to have won in the first year, two or three times maybe, and it hasn't really come through. Have you, when you watch him play, are you surprised that John isn't playing as well as I might have thought, or is he playing about where you thought he would be his first year on the tour?
Before you answer that, Bob, let me interject something here. He's changed his driver, hasn't he? Didn't he go to the vertical groove driver, Bob?
Yeah, he did, and I was just about to respond to Tim's question. John's a little frustrated that he's not playing as well as he feels that he should be playing, and he said it's really ironic because having switched to that vertical groove driver, he's driving it further than he's ever driven it in his entire career. And it's not only going further for John, it's going straighter. So it's the other parts of his game that he's working on. You know, there's always interesting sides to John Daly. He parks his the RV at this event in Houston as close to the first tee as possible. He probably doesn't have to walk 50 feet from his motorhome to be on the first tee. And yesterday he had this super duper power washing company out there, and they were scrubbing it down, and John was taking more pride in seeing his RV get cleaned up than he was on going to the driving range. So, you know, he's a strange guy. I mean, I was with him, you know, when he won that PGA championship, actually had on his bag a caddy by the name of Squeaky Bedlin, who was Nick Price's normal caddy, and Nick didn't make the cut, and John, you know, needed a caddy. Nick recommended Squeaky Medlin, and it was kind of a marriage of two people, because one thing about John Daly, he has a heart of gold, and Squeaky Medlin was the same way. We lost him to a very young death, 42. I remember in the hospital on the last day that he was alive. But I expect John Daly to break out of this slump. I think he's going to do well. Rocco Mediate, by the way, also playing that vertical groove driver. And I asked Rocco, I said, why are you doing this, Rocco? He said, Bob, it's better. And that's all he would say. It's better. So,
Frank, we need to get a new driver.
Better for your game. I'm
thinking, you know, because my driver is the weakest club in my bag with me right now. Maybe we need to talk to the Vertgolf, VERTGOLF.com. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah, you got it right on the money. And I think personally, I can't speak for Vertical Groove, but I think they may pay you a lot of money not to play this club, Frank.
You're right. You're absolutely right. No, PXG asked me not to play theirs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Rocco, that's right. Rocco is playing that club.
Hey, I got to tell you something. It's on the subject, off the subject. We're talking John Daly. We're talking with Bob Bupka, a legend in broadcasting in this game. And, Bob, John, you talked about him playing his guitar. It struck a string in my heart because the man who taught John Daly to play guitar was a very close friend of mine here in Nashville, Billy Pearson. And Billy died in a tragic car accident down on 30A in the Florida Panhandle, leaving the club one night after he had performed and got T-boned in his car and killed him. But he's the guy who taught John to play guitar, and John taught him how to just beat me like a tom-tom on the golf course. We never could before he and John became friends. And then John taught him how to drive that ball past me, you know, a week past me. I had to fill up the tank just to get to his ball. So that just struck a string in my heart. I didn't mean to go off on my memorabilia here, but Billy Pearson was a great guy and a close personal friend of John Daly's. And every time I see John, we talk about Billy for a few minutes. So.
Hey Bob, when you play or when you cover golf tournaments, both on
I'll mention that name to him and say that somebody had some kind words for Billy.
Yeah, Billy Pearson, great guy, great fella.
Hey Bob, I'm curious when you're covering both tours, you do a lot on the PGA Tour. Certainly now this week, PGA Tour Champions. Big differences do you see? Certainly the games are different and the skills of what the guys, young guys can do, and Dustin Johnson and those, it happens with age. But what other differences do you notice when you're covering the guys? Is it more relaxed attitude, atmosphere on the PGA Tour Champions than it would be on the regular tour?
And that's a great question, Tim. I would say 10, 15 years ago, it was really a relaxed atmosphere for the guys that had turned 50. It was like the golden mulligan. They were able to still play golf and make some money. But slowly but surely, the competitive level of the PGA Tour champions has escalated, and guys are coming out there in amazing shape, and they work really hard on their game. So, the giggle and laughs are maybe a little bit less, but the caliber of their play is a little bit higher. So I think they've achieved a very nice balance. They still have a good time. They respond to the crowds wonderfully well. They're very appreciative of anybody coming out and watching them. I mean, it's going to be amazing tomorrow, the amount of people that are going to be following Trevino, Player, and Nicklaus. I mean, if you look on TV, you'll say, wait a minute, what is this, a major going on? I mean, the crowds with that threesome, are going to be very nice, and certainly they're well-deserved, but it's getting more and more competitive, and guys that are in their late 40s, I mean, you know, you got Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly out there playing right now. They just did wonderfully well down at Zurich a week ago. So it's tough. It's getting tougher to win on the PGA Tour Champions than it's ever been.
We're talking again with Bob Bupka, and he is in Houston. This isn't a road trip for you, Bob. It's kind of a you live in Houston, so it's kind of it's kind of nice for you not to have to hit the airports and fly the friendly skies that it seems like nothing but bad news happening at airports and in, on airplanes lately. So good for you. This is going to be a good week for you. You get to go home, sleep in your own bed, and yeah, a home game literally for you. The golf course that they're playing on is a very, very good golf course and very challenging. Is the weather supposed to be pretty good in Houston this this weekend? Are you guys, you said you're going to have some winds?
No, I'm proud to say these players are going to be treated to some wonderful weather over the next 3 days. It's going to be in the low 80s, very comfortable, no humidity. The weather certainly not gonna be a factor, and you're right about that. It's always a bonus when you get to go to work covering golf, and you can just get in your car and drive 20 minutes, and you're at your workstation. So I look forward to it. You know, the Insperity people do a wonderful job in hosting this event. This is their biggest fundraiser of the year, and they work really hard at it to make all the players very comfortable. Last night they had a wonderful dinner. It's in the name of Dave Moore, who was a a legendary figure in and around the state of Texas. It's funny. I mean, last year Lee Trevino. Probably running out of time, but I'll try and make this brief, guys. Lee Trevino was asked when the first time he played in Houston what it was like, and he said, man, I came from Dallas, and I came to Houston, and all I had heard about was how bad the traffic was in Houston. And he said, I found out firsthand how bad it really was. He said, leaving the event, my first time playing in Houston, I got a flat tire. He said, I pulled off the side of the road, changed the tire, and got back in traffic. I only lost two spots.
Hey, Bob, real quick question before we let you go. Is Papacito's still there right close to the Woodlands, the Mexican restaurant?
It certainly is, and it's one of the popular places. Boy, you know all the good restaurants, Frank. You know all the good musicians. Boy, in my next life, I want to come back and Frank back.
I got to tell you, again, years and years ago, when I was just a huge golf fan, I was in business and music and traveling all the time, and went to the Houston Open there at the Woodlands and went to Papacito's to have dinner with some friends, and sitting next to us, and I can't remember what year it was, I look over and there's this guy in these starched blue jeans, a white starched polo shirt, lizard cowboy boots, no knickers and no clip-bill hat, and it was Payne Stewart sitting next to me at the table right next to me, and we struck up a conversation. That's how I got to know him. But that was at Papacito's there in Houston.
You're one of the few to recognize him without his knickers and hat.
You could pretty much recognize Payne Stewart, but yeah, I love Papacito's. And since it is Cinco de Mayo, everybody's welcome at my house tonight. We're going to have a big Mexican. I've got two blenders ready to get started. Seriously, two blenders sitting out, brand new KitchenAid blenders. Thank you, KitchenAid. And we're going to have a festival here at the new house. So, Bob, when you get to Nashville, you got to come out and see us.
Well,
because the margaritas will still be flowing.
I would tell you this much: if that invite was coming in my direction 20 years ago, I guarantee you would need more than two blenders.
Well, I could tell you the last Cinco de Mayo party I had, we set one blender on fire. We smoked it. So we're going with two this time. But anyway, Bob, it's always great to have you on. You're one of my mentors, and you've always been so gracious and kind as we started this endeavor called Golf Talk America. Thank you so much. And my very best to your executive producer, Janice. She's fabulous.
Well, I thank you for those kind words. We enjoy being part of Golf Talk America. You have so many golf fans that listen in. It's truly an honor for us, and I'll make sure that I pass along the best wishes from Golf Talk America to some of the all-time greats of the game.
Please.
While I'm with them tomorrow.
Please do. And by the way, the grill room can be heard on TuneIn as well as where else, Bob?
Well, it can be heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Probably the easiest place is grillroom.com. You can hear it there. And thanks for that promotion. We enjoy doing that show, just like you guys enjoy doing what you do on Golf Talk America. It's one thing about people that love golf. Whenever you get a chance to talk golf and talk golf to people that love golf, it's just really something special.
It really is. So make sure to our listeners, tune in to thegrillroom.com. The Grill Room, it's Bob and Jay Randolph Jr. that do a great show there. And it's sponsored by Vertical Groove Golf, as well as Bob, Tim, you know this, but for our listeners, pardon me, will be joining us weekly now. And Vertical Groove Golf is sponsoring Bob Bupka's participation in Golf Talk America. So there you go.
Very nice. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah,
awesome, Bob. We appreciate
it. Working with you, Tim and Frank, like I said, it's really a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is, Bob. Hey, the best to you guys, and y'all have a great Cinco de Mayo and a great weekend, and have fun talking with some of the true legends of the game.
All right, you get those blenders humming, baby.
You got it. Thanks, Bob Bupka, right, joining us live from Houston. That was pretty good. Bob's got so many stories, Tim. I mean,
yeah, I know. I could talk for hours. Hours.
I mean, and he's known everybody. I mean, so wow.
All I know is the interview he's about to do later today. Here on this is May 5th on Friday, so a little bit later, he says he's going to sit down with Nicklaus, Player, and Trevino. I kind of threw it in there, but I'm not kidding. You only need a couple of questions because
that's true.
They will get going, and it's almost like you just sit back and let them talk amongst themselves and go back and forth, and then they'll dispute what the other guy just said.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that tournament. No, that was in 63. Remember, we're talking 64. I mean, and Trevino, by the way, will answer all the questions you direct to Jack or Gary.
That's right.
He'll answer them.
So yeah, well, you don't even really need them.
You don't even need the other guys, you know? I mean, he'll be there, take them
all
on.
Fasten your seatbelts.
Yeah,
make sure your tray tables are in their upright and locked position. Here goes the interview.
You know what? I'm kind of intrigued by the Vertical Groove Golf thing, not to over-promote what Bob's got going there. But, you know, he's got, as they said, Rocco Mediate and John Daly are playing it. It is what it looks like, or it looks like what the name is, and the grooves on it, instead of going horizontally, go vertical. And so it's probably an easy way to come up with a name for this driver, but interesting technology to see people be able to hit it that much further. I'm going to try one out, see what happens.
So Vertical Groove Golf, that's cool, but you know, Golf Genius is the clear new leader in tournament management software, combining the best characteristics of a traditional golf events with exciting new features made possible by the latest in software innovation. GolfGenius.com, one of our sponsors, and a great sponsor they are, great software. The software was designed and invented by a man who knows a little bit about software. He was the CEO of a spreadsheet company years ago called Lotus. So he knows what he's doing. And that's why the USGA has collaborated with Golf Genius Software. They're redoing the entire gen system. So Golf Genius Software, check them out. It's not just for golf pros. It's for leagues, tournament directors, outings, whatever. GolfGenius.com, Golf Genius Software. They're great. It's
very nice.
Stuff.
Very nice.
I gotta hit that
very
driver.
Nice, very nice.
I gotta hit that vertical groove driver. You know, Janice, by the way, Bob's executive producer, it was a champion golfer. I mean, she was like LPGA.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Janice Self is her name, and she was a championship golfer, and well
good
known abroad too. I mean, well known in Scotland and Ireland, and because she's played all over the place. So. I wonder if she's hit that driver. We'll have to check it out with her. I'll give her a call this afternoon.
Yeah, I don't care about that Mediate guy and that Daly guy. If Janice likes it, I'm going with it. That's the endorsement I'm looking for.
There you
hers.
Go. Rocco, by the way, real quick, Rocco out at the Conquistador Classic last year, I was the last guy in. I was running late. We were doing some hits and stuff on radio. So I go into the steakhouse there. And sit down at the bar, and there's like eight people in there, and that's it. Nobody at the bar. So I said, I'll just sit at the bar and order steak and have a glass of wine, and I'll just kind of unwind and be quiet. And all of a sudden, I get a slap on the back. Hey, Frankie boy, what's mind if I join you? Give me a glass of that wine. It was Rocco. And, you know, Rocco talks more than I do, and that's a lot. So he proceeded to explain to me the entire playoff of the U.S. Open, hole by hole. It was so cool, though. It was so cool. And he was playing PXG at the time and bought him. They weren't sponsoring him. And he was telling me all about PXG and all that. So anyway, I do go off on my personal stories. But I meant that about Pearson, by the way, too. Billy Pearson was one of my close friends. I was on the road with him a lot. And John was with us, and yeah, it was sad.
He'll be playing the guitar that that Pearson taught him how to play on Tuesday. I promise you that. That's a big part of the tournament, is after everybody plays and does all the things they do, which includes there's always a vodka or no. It's he's got his own thing, doesn't he?
Yes.
John Daly iced tea. It's iced tea flavored vodka something.
Yeah.
And so everybody's. Well lubricated, and he pulls out the guitar and takes requests, and you know, all my exes wear Rolexes, and every other song that he's got in the repertoire. Like I say, when Bupka said, you know, he's got a heart of gold, and I go, yeah, and it all belongs to his ex-wives. John's got a colorful past, but I will say this: he doesn't hold back. He will answer any question you ask him, whether it's about addictions, whether it's about things that are uncomfortable to a lot of people.
Well,
he has no problem answering any question, and he'll be honest. If you say, well, "What do you think about this golfer, that golfer?" If he says, "You know what? I think he's overrated," I don't think he'll tell you exactly what he thinks about it. He's not trying to make friends.
Well, he was on the show with us. So I don't know if you recall. We were at French Lick, and John called in, and he said, I said something, I don't know what it was, but he just responded to me. He said, "Hey, Frank, you know, I'm just a keg with legs." A keg with legs. So, John Daly.
Yeah. He's not changed at all since he broke on, back in 91.
Yeah.
So, it was a lot of fun. We appreciate Bob Bupka joining us, and do check out those, like we're doing, check out Vertical Groove Golf.
Check them out.
Vert Golf and check out that driver. See, that's all. Is that I'm being ignorant here, Frank? Do they just do drivers?
I don't know that much about them, but I'll research it.
I don't know either.
See, and we'll talk more about it on Monday. But
very nice.
Yeah, I need to straighten out my drive. It's that was getting me in trouble at French Lick. Everything else was working okay, but my driver just was. And I'm playing a stiff X tip, which I shouldn't be hitting. not at my age.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, happy Cinco de Mayo, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And, it'll be a party around the country. Everybody celebrates Cinco de Mayo, just like St. Patty's Day. Doesn't matter where you're from, where your parents are from. Cinco de Mayo and St. Patrick's Day, everybody celebrates. So have a great one, everybody. May 5th here. And we will be back next week to talk more about what happened at the PGA Tour stop, the Wells Fargo Championship, and also the Inspirity Invitational down in Houston. Thanks again to Bob Bupka for joining us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.